Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Waypoint UK podcast. We're now on episode 12, a whole dirty dozen of these things. My name is Mike Diver, and I'm joined today for something of an E3 2017 preview show by Steve Burns has come back.
Hello.
Steve Burns.
You made that sound bad.
It's come back.
You know, like, it's come back.
I invited you back.
It's back. Like, how do I sort this again? Do I have to tell anyone about this? Like, you know.
Do you have to tell your accountant that you're here?
Yeah, I mean, hey, who's the other guy?
What all the tax? Yeah, exactly. And Tom Regan is here for the first time. Have I said you? I forgot to.
Regan.
Regan,
close,
sorry. You
know, their president's ruined my name forever. I'm just kind of rolling with it.
Regan,
seeing what happens.
Regan. Who is from all kinds of places joining us for the first time.
We're nomad.
Yes, you're a freelance games writer, for those who don't know. Where can people read your stuff? Right now, right this minute.
Engadget, Trusted Reviews, a bunch of other places, Red Bull.
I lurk. Other energy drinks are available.
But we want
to talk about E3 a little bit, because obviously this is the biggest event on the gaming calendar. He says through gritted teeth, and you've got experience of being there, Steve. And Tom, you're going this time for the first time, right?
Yeah.
You're smiling now. you're looking forward to it?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of like it's been like gaming Christmas. I'm only partly ashamed to admit that I've spent many years staying up late with a few beers and some mates, watching all the conferences. So I'm pretty excited to finally get out there.
Finally go there. And Steve, you're going back this year, but you've been there before in various guises. Obviously, previously you were a video gamer.
Yeah.
You know, when you see someone who's young, eager, happy, like Tom here,
it upsets me. You know, it's a good look, and you know, I just can't do it anymore. So
we can't fake it
exactly.
But you know, you've been there, I've been there, so I thought it's a good mix, a good dynamic to talk about what's coming up this year, what's potentially coming up this year, and just a little bit about the event itself. Really, I mean, first things first, if you, the listener at home, don't really know what E3 is, it's the one, isn't it, really, guys? I suppose it's where the biggest announcements are made for the year. It's held in LA, as it's been every year. It hasn't always been in the conference center, has it? It's moved around a little bit, but yeah, it's like, I mean, it's like, you know,
it's,
you say, like a Christmas thing. Yeah,
there's
like,
is.
You know, a lot of the bigger publishers. I mean, it's a place for big games, isn't it? More than anything else, you know, your smaller games don't tend to get much of a look. And there was Unravel a couple of years ago where people went, oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
And then they played it and they forgot about the whole thing. But, you know, it's mostly big games, right?
Yeah. Best thing to think about it is for E3, it's mostly all show, no go, which means that you see a lot of it. But really, if you actually want to play anything, my goodness, you better know the PR, or you better be ready to queue for hours. But I remember, bit like Tom, like for years, it was, you know, it's the thing. And it's easy to affect this kind of, you know, cynicism about E3 and say, oh, wow, you know. And there are many negative things about it that we'll get into in a minute. But it still has that excitement value, especially, you know, old man Burns in video game magazines. Of course, that news was, you know, a month out of date.
Yeah,
but it's fantastic. So you'd wait for E3. Now you don't have to wait. Now, as you said, Tom, you can stay up, you can watch it. you can see the single player bit of Call of Duty that no one's going to play at Microsoft or whoever's got it this year. So, but it really is an experience because not a lot works. Everything's overpriced. There's too many people there. And you see the games for about 3 minutes, but it's part of the magic.
Yeah.
That's the magic. It is a theme park. Just imagine a theme park for video games with everything good and bad that that implies. And you'll definitely be there.
I made you any more excited for it, Tom?
Yeah.
He's got appointments. He can literally walk past people. He's going to do Wayne's World. Yeah. He's going to have the lanyard out going, listen, guys, come on.
The worst thing of last year was that I completely failed to get a Nintendo appointment.
Oof.
And Zelda obviously was the big thing, and I just walked to my whatever the fuck I was seeing. No offense to all those other games, which were, I saw some good stuff last year. In fact, last year at E3, for some still unknown reason, I was a judge. They have a little thing.
Judges Week,
I didn't do Judges Week, though. I judged at the time.
What?
And it was like added into the mix or something.
Are you a linesman? You're E3's linesman?
I'm the video referee or something. But they're referring stuff to me. But yeah, so I saw I played Mafia 3 before people had played it.
Ooh.
Like there was hands-off stuff.
That made you feel good.
To play it. But even then I was I just want to play Zelda. I felt really bad about
the way you even said it then. The sadness in your voice now. You've played it for 200 hours.
And it's fucking marvelous. I mean, I've played an hour of Mafia 3 since that came out. So, that shows you how that breakdown was. But, you mentioned it's like a theme park kind of thing. Previous guest of the UK podcast, in fact, on the last one, the Max Payne one with you, Ed Smith, he said, his question to me before this was who's E3 for now? Is it for punters? Mm. Is it for players? Because it used to be just go do meetings, see new games, buy new games for new systems. It used to be a proper kind of trade expo, didn't it? And now it's this circus of things popping and flashing and stuff. Yeah. It's very much about, who's got the biggest dick effectively waving around with the most exclusives hanging off the end, isn't it?
I think that it very much used to be, like I said, in the magazine era or, just after that, it was for trade, and then you'd get a few people. But then, of course, you have to, or to get into it before, you used to have a site or accreditation. Mm-hmm. And so, and even in the years that I was going, it wasn't open to the public, but you'd see guys in there, you'd see people in there, Weed Gamer or whatever. They've got a site and they've blagged some review code, and that's fine.
Subscribers are huge.
Exactly. Weed Gamer.
Can they work at Vice now?
Sorry?
Weed Gamer. Can they work at Vice now?
Well, exactly. Whoa. Look at that.
It's your first time you've been on the podcast
inside
for
baseball.
less than 7 minutes. You might never come back.
But you know what? I won't begrudge it from getting bigger and having more people because for a lot of people, it is this
public now, which is but select public can come. I think it was was it 30,000 tickets?
The early bird tickets, But I'm fine with it because it was always rammed anyway. And if you're part of the media, as I was saying, you'll have accreditation, you'll have appointments, you'll know the people who are running various stuff. So you can, a lot of the times someone will see you and they've probably been drinking with you in a bar or whatever, and they'll go, oi, and then they'll pull you into whatever. And because, you're on a list basically.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say is that in the first instance, it's really overwhelming. Imagine the seafront. If you were in Britain, you're like, oh, when you go and you see, play Time Crisis, there was Outrun and all those games. You're like, there's a lot of games here. There's a lot of noises.
The arcade this year.
Exactly.
Blue Rinse broke. Yeah. Loads of old.
There wasn't just Time Crisis knocking around on a seafront. Come on, have some imagination. Anyway, it's like that, to the absolute max. Yeah. Everywhere, you can't look anywhere without just being completely sated, basically.
Without
your senses. Yeah. I remember
big screens and
one year I went and Konami.
Free shit.
Yeah. Konami had made Mother Base or part of it. And I was like, fuck me, how much did that cost? And that is basically a question that will run through your mind for a lot of it.
Well, that was probably a lot of the reason that the budget of Metal Gear 5 was so
astronomical. I can't talk about that anymore. But, you can't really begrudge anyone from wanting to go and do it. And I think it's a natural move to have the public. Actually, the public without them having to jump through hoops. Now they've got to jump financial hoops, but because there's so much other stuff. EA Play was there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So when I went to see EA's conference, it was at the old Oscars building. And so you go there and you're like, shit, this is where Jack Nicholson pissed. Maybe. I don't know. He probably presumably did. He was here a lot.
Punched through a door.
You know, maybe. But you've got Bethesda doing early stuff. You've got all these guys. So it makes sense. And if you want people to go there and just, you know, have a good time and be part of the E3 thing, good and bad, what's wrong with that?
I mean, when you say like a lot of shows happen before the show itself starts. We've got our Microsoft, we've got our Sony, they do stuff. Obviously, Nintendo will do their directs, they do now. Last year, I was at the EA one, which is when they really showed off Battlefront, and the air got really thick with weed because they had like...
See, I told you they were there.
Wiz Khalifa and that there. just shameless, just like lighting up, playing away.
Now we're Battlefront's
like, we're like respect this, look at this accurate World War One stuff, and there's Snoop Dogg like, you know, just playing with a massive biff.
And who else was there? Was it
there was a bunch of celebs, and I don't think
Jamie Foxx was there.
Jamie Foxx was there because
his eyes were pretty red,
so yeah, some people were baking backstage, definitely. Amazing. There was a Bethesda thing that I'm pretty sure it was Bethesda. Loads of people were queuing up to get into it, and Blink-182 played it. But that same night at E3, I went for dinner with some other journalists and some people from PlayStation, and we went to a restaurant, and 2/3 of Green Day were there. So even though I didn't see Blink-182, I still got my kind of...
You know him though, right? You used to have a Wikipedia page as a music journalist, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and then I started gaming.
Your friends Vollen, right?
I'm not sure I ever interviewed Green Day. I didn't go. The weird thing was, like, obviously some people we were with were like, oh, there's Billy Joe Armstrong. I'll go get my picture with him. I'm like, if I just come out for dinner, I wouldn't want to be bothered. I don't know.
He'll fucking bat you, mate. Feels a bit weird. Maybe. I don't know.
Feels a bit weird. But what I got out of E3 last year was obviously this kind of like rush of things. And you're kind of seeing the next 6 months, I suppose, effectively laid out before you. For the most part, there's certain publishers, certain companies that don't bother with it. Like, even if Red Dead was this year, Rockstar don't give a fuck about E3, right? They're not going to really do much around it.
No.
There'll be some games that just don't pop onto the radar this year, but we might as well talk about stuff that will a little bit. And I've conveniently made notes so I can remember what's supposed to be coming this year. You know, I'm good. I plan. Microsoft is the company that's actually got some hardware. Does anyone care about the so-called Project Scorpio in the room?
I mean, I don't know if you saw the Digital Foundry big reveal.
Oh, I did. I watched a lot and I didn't understand half of it.
Honestly, it wasn't until they just said this is X times more powerful than that. I think they just kept repeating, it's about 4 times better. And that was all I understood from the entire thing. So I'm hoping we see more than the kind of 10 seconds of Forza footage we saw, which looked pretty. But
I mean, it's not the sexiest thing to show it off with, is it? Oh, well, I say
that always looks good, though, doesn't it?
Like, shiny cars, I suppose, yeah. It's easier to do photoreal cars than it is photoreal people, right?
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah. Tom, are you doing the Microsoft conference?
I am, yeah.
So you get conference Monday, or it used to be, now that some of them have shifted around.
It's the same day as Bethesda one, I think, this year. But I mean, that's an interesting thing.
Are Sony and Microsoft on the same day this year?
No, they're different. Yeah,
have Microsoft gone back a day to Sunday then?
Yeah, I think they're on the Sunday. I mean, it's interesting what you said about Metal Gear having huge booths and stuff, because obviously, being someone who's watched it at home, all I've seen get bigger are the stage shows and the actual stages and all the props they use. Just like, you know, it's a massive pissing contest. Like, Microsoft's last year was ridiculous. Sony borrowed Nintendo's orchestra from before and had the whole cool screen thing. And
I was at it.
Well, yeah.
I was at that Sony, the presentation. Yeah, it felt like it's pretty loud in there.
That was pretty epic, though. I did like the way they do that. Like, you know, it's
vibe. Is this still at the Galen Center, the Microsoft one?
I don't remember, to be honest. It's in a big spreadsheet of stuff.
Of fear. That's, in fairness... So I know that Sony's have moved, because Sony's used to be next door to the
Colosseum.
Which was really good, because they used to have like...
I forget what it's called, but I've been there twice. I went there twice last year to that.
You're a terrible person.
Theater. Yeah.
But they used to have like a proper tailgate party and everything. So you'd go in there and it was, you know, there'd be loads of food and like beers. And it was really nice. It was nice and communal, because a lot of E3 is very fragmented.
Yeah. Oh, pre the Sony one last year, they had like... You know, a big social space just with a couple of
and
bars.
And it's nice to just, you know, see someone back and say, oh, what are you looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, yeah. Didn't feel very formal or anything. Yeah. Not until we got in there. And it was like, you must sit here.
Yeah. But the Galen Center is great. If that's where it still is, first you have to queue in like 2,000 degree heat to get in. But once you're in, it's nice. There's no internet, so don't think about doing any work. And
those are the best places.
Yeah, if you've got an excuse. And I was in there when they revealed the price of the Xbox One. And it's literally a very sharp intake of breath.
Just $100 more, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, someone actually went, and I was just like, oh my God, what have they done? Like, how have they done this? But that's the best thing about E3. And Tom, that's exactly what that you can't really replicate the first time, because the first time generally has those surprises and yeah. the rest of them are just echoes of it. So you'll get an announcement and someone will say something or do something and those will become your kind of defining
E3
memories.
It'll be like that Theresa May, Jeremy Corbyn thing of the other night where there'll just be some guy in the audience, but that guy will be next to you just going, that's bollocks.
Yeah.
That is bollocks.
For anyone, someone will be on a live stream going...
Yeah.
I'm slightly worried that I might get overly excited and become a meme, though, if they announce something incredible.
You could be the guy crying at Final Fantasy VII.
That could be me.
That could be you.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't let it be you.
Sit there going, but you can't even be too stern-faced, because they'll be like, well, stern-faced, man. You've got to be like, you've got to, you know, nod.
Yeah.
You've got to, when, you know, it's necessary, but
even when
much.
they say, like, you know, a classic gaming franchise brought back for a new generation, you're like, oh, yeah, go on. And they're like, Zool returns. You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. I didn't meet. Yeah, they're fantastic, aren't they?
Yeah, Commodore is back. Anyway, I mean, you talk about a good point regarding prices, because presumably Microsoft will probably use E3 to say this is $500 or something. That was the launch price for the Xbox One, wasn't it? Minus a dollar, $499.
Oh, but it was. Just made me laugh. Sorry. I mean, they've got to. It's nice to be able to just see it, as, like, not as a critic or a journalist or whatever, to actually to be able to see it from another perspective now. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I think they've got to get this right. When the Xbox One was revealed, I was at a Bethesda event in the middle of nowhere, and it was at some, like, country manor or something, and they were like, okay, so we know that we're really there to showcase, like, but we can't expect you not to watch it. So fair play to Bethesda. They set up one of these grand rooms to make everyone watch it, and it was, the, you know, the TV one. And you just got these British games journalists going, what the fuck is going on here? And it's like Don Matrick came out and went, oh, my... And it finished, and there was just this dumbfounded silence in the room. It's like, oh, and then that just continued in the first E3 that I was there, in the second, and it just felt that they didn't have a handle, Microsoft, on anything. They were kind of in the situation that Sony were in when they had PS3 and they were just giving it the big one constantly.
Have the really nice dog from Call of Duty, though, which kind of saved it at the end. That was pretty amazing.
I went out to see Call of Duty Ghosts. Wow. The dog.
That's the one
that
starts. That's the one that starts with space explosions, isn't it? I don't think I got beyond that.
Moonraker. But they've got to get it right, I think, is the point. And I think it's going to be a really good year, especially for Tom, for the first year there, to get in there. And they've got to go big, because specs may do it for, you know, the people who are in the room and live streaming it. But, you know, what the real gross numbers that they need, I mean, they're going to go, oh, yeah, the teraflops. And someone in the street is going to go, what the fuck is a teraflop?
Yeah, don't care, show me the games. Which, I mean, I did some poking around.
Is this a confession?
Well, maybe later. Like, Sony last year hit a whole bunch of new stuff that we're going to see more of, you know, God of War, Days Gone.
Dad of War,
exactly. Like, Microsoft, and you're talking about, like, I think they've had a problem as well with all this kind of Windows 10 integration. You can play it here, you play it there. So, like, obviously there's shit tons of different specs going on, and, like, maybe that makes development a bit harder for people. I'm not entirely sure, but, like, if you want to play this crop, you know, they're constantly trying to push this cross-platform agenda, aren't they? Where does that leave their games now? What are they going to show in terms of new games? Like, and what have you heard, Tom, on the proverbial grapevine for what Microsoft might show off?
Well, I think Crackdown 3 and Sea of Thieves are pretty much a given at this point.
They are, but, like, we know about them already, don't we? They're not exciting now.
I mean, there was an interesting rumour, well, I guess it's actually a fact, that that Microsoft renewed their Scalebound trademark. I mean, I'm not sure if that's just housekeeping or if they found someone else to... pick up Platinum's mess, but because, to be honest, I think Microsoft just have to actually hit hard with the exclusives, because there's not really a lot coming out.
But what have they got? I mean, they got Forza.
Yeah, four was there.
So we know, we'll probably see some more of that. Realistic chances of any more Halo at E3?
I mean, they'll probably show a tease of something small, but
you think they'll finish a conference with like a, you know, 2 minute cinematic or something?
Yeah, something nonsense.
They did that.
Yeah.
They've done that before. Yeah. Everyone went, I think it was Guardians, you know, when he's in the cloak in the desert.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yes! Yeah. So I was like, oh my, how do I get to the next one from here?
But it's their biggest thing, isn't it? Halo, it's got to be. Still?
They need a new IP. I mean, Sea of Thieves is a good start. I think that looks pretty cool, actually. I'm excited for that.
It's one of these things that you can only really get the most out of with pals, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not. I nearly said it's not because I don't have any pals, but really that's why it is. But, you know, I don't. There aren't many multiplayer games that I enjoy. And the ones where you actually have to communicate with people who aren't in the room, I feel really weird about. I feel really like self-conscious, even if I'm there on my own.
So you don't like, talk into my Division TV trailer from Ubisoft and like, all right, get the Tango here, Echo Bravo there, and I get fully into it.
That's like the way they were selling Ghost Recon. Like, you know, all these people working together, and of course, you actually play with people, and it's like everyone's just like making dick jokes and fucking.
I saw Ghost Recon behind closed doors, and it was one of the most interesting things that I'd seen. Probably the, well, in the top three of that year, because it just had so much promise at that point. And even though it was canned
as
fuck.
And then it came out.
No, I didn't hate it. Like, well, I hated aspects of it. Yeah. But yeah, it's another one of those things. I think Tom, you're absolutely right, is that they need, they either need really strong IP or they need the absolute easiest, but still flexible hardware.
Yeah.
The PS4 approach is that, yeah, we've got some cool stuff. We've got Bloodborne. We've got all this stuff that we can, you know, wheel out. But Microsoft just, you know, much as I love them for the 360, and I do think that, you know, that holds a very close place in my heart next to the Mega Drive, is that it's just, they've stagnated a bit. And then they just went for this crazy thing with Xbox One, which wouldn't play in any territory, you know, but America, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, you can watch ESPN. It's like, guess what, motherfucker? Great. I don't have ESPN. Yeah. And neither does anyone
else. Also,
here.
If I wanted that, I have other means of getting that.
Exactly. I'd go to ESPN.com.
There you go. I mean, you know, obviously they botched it with the TV thing. And you know, the hangover of that lasted until last year, even with, you know, Quantum Break came out very much as a game that was clearly from that era. Yeah.
But they've got to be sure. I think with the biggest mistake that they made is that they had this, you know, like a Steam-style family sharing thing. They had this DRM system, which may or may not
have been. This is even when they were talking about having no discs, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it could have been one of those where you... You know, if you had a game and I wanted to play, give me 24 hours off the Xbox. I would love that. I would love that. And then the blowback on it was just so crazy that I think they lost their nerve and they went, okay, we'll just make it a slightly less powerful PS4.
Yeah.
And that was the wrong call. So I think now the Scorpio stuff is just...
Assuming it's even... officially called that. I mean, is that not still...
Surely won't be called
Scorpio. No, that's got to be a code name.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was saying like that... Someone pointed out that Scorpio is the zodiac sign covering late October to late November, right? That feels like a good release window for a new console, doesn't it? So,
it's been years. It's been years. Stop reading the tea leaves like that.
No. But like, you know, if you're going to launch a console, that's a good time.
Yeah, we're going to call it Scorpio because in 2 years' time, we're going to... What about the shipping channels?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't worry about it. I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's Mystic Mike's prediction. He's getting nailed.
I'm Mystic me. Yeah, I don't know. Look.
You know what? I really hope that Microsoft have a really good E3 because I think everyone is stronger when the person who's really dominated the year before the generation before comes in and it's like, okay, we're going to do that. So Sony, I was at the Sony PS4 kind of reveal at E3. It was great. They played it for laughs, the sharing of the games, you know. I thought, fantastic. That's how it really should be. You know, if you're going to take the piss out of yourself, for goodness sake. And I think that...
But when you're in the position where you can do that, obviously it's good, you know, when you're the second place in the market.
But
when
it was revealed, they work as Xbox 360. It's not technically won. You know, you can argue for and against and a bit of a stalemate there. But
the later stages of that generation, though, I mean, if you look at the sales figures, boring though they are, they're pretty even, Stevens.
Yeah.
And you got to say, at the tail end... You were getting more interesting, cool new stuff on PlayStation. Perhaps going into the PS4, you know, you weren't getting a game like The Last of Us on Xbox. You just weren't getting that experience.
Much as I loved it, you know, that wasn't the case. No. But how are Sony going to do, Mike?
Well, this year, I mean, I don't know what they're, what new things they might show. I mean,
have they got something else, do you think? Maybe a little tease.
I've not seen any rumors or ripples of new IPs or anything.
Wink if you need to.
No, I haven't. I mean, they'll show more of Insomniac Spider-Man, which we saw hardly any of last year. That's been really quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, film's coming out this year.
It's definitely going to
come out this year.
So you're going to have that. Final Fantasy VII Remake, potentially?
Well, I mean, the weird thing about that is, do you hear about Square just moving that in-house? Because it's actually being developed by a studio called CyberConnect, randomly.
CyberConnect?
That's like
a fucking dating agency, isn't it?
Yeah. They made like the .hack games in some kind of mid-budget PS2 RPGs. I think Square suddenly gone, shit, this isn't going to come out.
Unless we take control of it.
Yeah, okay. And they only ever show the start of that game, so... Unless they're doing some serious crunch time, I think we'll see something very small in that. I think that's a long way off that game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Is it optimistic to think after the tears of previous years that we might see more Shenmue?
I wonder if that game's even
going to ever happen.
We'll see an HD remaster of the two before it.
It's
easy money, like before it comes out, they can ship that out, it'll be fine.
The HD remaster has been finished for years though. So I hear.
Shenmue.
Yeah, for Shenmue and
I wouldn't be surprised.
It has. It's like the GoldenEye remaster, which has been done. But there's so many issues with licensing. We saw with Alan Wake the other day that anything, you know, not that Shenmue really has that sort of thing. But I think that Sony are in a difficult position this year, I feel, because they're in the middle ground. They're not, well, I don't know, I'm not saying it, maybe they'll kill it, but sticking or twisting. So... You know, I'd heard that because traditionally Microsoft would go first, so you'd go to see them in the morning, and then Sony would have, the two or three different variations of what they would say depending on what had been said at the previous. So you'd have Microsoft, then you'd have EA and Ubisoft. So you actually didn't just go from one into the other. You had like a few hours. So you can imagine them running around feverishly going, okay, well, they've said this. Like politically, basically.
Yeah, of course.
So I think that Sony are actually in the more difficult position because they're in the lead. They've got so much goodwill. Microsoft know what they need to do. Sony now are thinking, okay, you know.
Well, Sony got the small matter of regarding sticking or twisting of what the hell to do with VR, haven't they?
That's going to be huge, I think. If there's no, it's like Vita. It's like if there's no in previous years.
Yeah.
Not this year.
I mean, if there's not... a big VR push this year, if we don't see that visibly from a consumer perspective, is that Sony saying maybe we'll just leave this alone now?
Have you got one?
I've got one.
So what do you want to say?
I feel like it, at the moment it's got huge potential, but I need to see more games like Resident Evil 7 because that's the first game that is a true game, as it were, that you can play on VR. It's not just a kind of small bespoke experience. And at the end of the day, like, you have to buy the camera to make it work. And once you've got the Move controllers and everything, it's like £430. It's basically a console. So I don't feel like
it's a platform in and of itself, really, isn't it? And like you're saying, unless you're... Like, even Resi 7... America hates it if I say Resi 7. apparently they say RE7 or something. It's different. It's like SNES and Super NES, right?
Let's
and
not get into things. That one. I couldn't believe that the other day.
NES.
Just for the record, anyone says Super NES, dead. Okay? Just stop it.
Forget about it. But like, I mean, because Resi 7 was made obviously with VR in mind, but it's not a bespoke VR experience. It's not made exclusively for it. The advantage of it was that you could play the whole thing in VR. Unlike where we've seen things like, here's Lara Croft, like here's like Tomb Raider, Rise of Tomb Raider, wasn't it, when Sony bolted on a VR bit. Tekken 7 is out end of this week, very, very soon. That's got a VR component, but it's tacked on.
Like Gran Turismo Sport. Hasn't that got a VR thing?
Oh, possibly.
They've said there's some kind of VR support.
Yeah.
Which could be incredible. Like that.
Well, Drive Club VR made me sick. So,
wow. I don't know. I totally...
I've seen,
I think that they're in a bit of a pickle there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're going to do some kind of PS4 Pro, PSVR bundle, maybe slash the price on PSVR and try and get some games out because I think...
Why not?
I think I read something.
Money is the...
I mean, this is a thing. You're talking about a company with money to throw at people and go, for Christ's sake, give us something.
Yeah.
You know, give us something where all these people who have invested in it. Like you say, like if you were to go up to the Pro and you've got your hardware, then have half a dozen titles, because Riggs didn't work, did it? Riggs didn't work for them.
They shut that studio down.
Exactly. It was the Cambridge one, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, hype, hype, hype. Here's Riggs. It's amazing. It's going to be awesome. And it worked fine, but no one played it. That's never going to be played as a competitive thing. There was that arena game that came out recently, wasn't there? Like, always coming out. Flying around in spaceships. Blood or something?
I don't even know the name of it. I genuinely...
Played it a showcase thing. And what did you think of that? Well, it's fine, but again, no... I don't want to play a game like this in VR. I want to have something more... less novelty, I guess. It's just like, this is a gimmicky thing. And apart from Resi 7, I don't think I've played that yet. Robinson went close to it, but even that had problems.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need some kind of... If I was Sony, I'd get... Dreams. Dreams is going to come up.
That's
the kind of content I think is going to be really good for PSVR. Like, they
that's
need
a Molecule, isn't
yeah.
it? That's their new thing. Yeah.
And they still said very little about that.
Yeah.
Aside from it can do everything.
That's right, because the last time we saw it, it was like, I don't know how this works.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
But
for
it's
now.
Pretty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess now is the explainer for that, if they're in a position to do it.
Yeah. I think they need like a Journey-esque title. They need like a really beautiful, weird thing that feels like a new genre for VR, not just like, I don't know, like a strange indie thing with an engrossing story or like something.
Something a bit dreamlike, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of either hyperrealism or.
Hyperrealism doesn't work for me in VR. It can't on Sony anyway.
Yeah, but I think that something that, like you're saying, Tom, something that has like a proper meaty single player component to it, something that feels like you're actually going somewhere and doing something that's not arena based or very gimmicky. Now, that's difficult, but I think Resident Evil succeeded. Now, obviously, full disclosure. You know, I've worked with Capcom on some things related to Resident Evil 7, but I think it succeeded in VR because it scared the shit out of people because it worked. The first-person perspective worked with VR, obviously, and it didn't feel as slight or as lightweight as a lot of the experiences feel like.
I'd like to see something. I think like an episodic Life is Strange style game would be really cool for VR because you can't really play, personally, I can't play VR for more than an hour without getting a hot head and just being done with it.
Oh, well, yeah.
But
what people don't talk about. Like, even before you get into any issues of motion sickness, you know, you've got that pressed against your face for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's horrible. I mean, this is one of the worst things about expos and stuff is when you have to, someone puts it on your head and you're like, oh my God, how many people have had this on before
me? But don't
they
have the condoms, the VR condoms? Well,
they give them a wipe, don't they? They give them
a
wipe.
There's things,
down.
You know, like in America.
You put a sheath over your head. What?
Yeah. No, but no.
Like some...
I mean, depending on where you are.
Like mosquito net or something.
You know, in the US, you can pull out these things that go on the toilet seat. There's just like, you know that old fucking thing is like, well, I think it's in the in-between, it's where he needs to go to the toilet.
He puts little bits down one by
but
one.
There are these things that are already shaped like this.
Yeah.
So,
well, you get them in this country as well.
I've never used them.
Yeah.
Do we, Michael? Do we? But I mean,
I just don't
get those for VR now. So, you know, any responsible VR vendor will, they literally put one of those on for each new person.
But even not the sweat, like even from just at home and everything's all right and feeling good, like after an hour of it, I feel like I've been out drinking in the desert. I'm just like, I'm a mess. I'm a heart. I don't know where I am. I've got to just sit down and take a 20-minute break.
Listen, speaking of toilets, that seems like the natural segue. the toilets. At the convention center, they are like portals to hell.
Yeah.
They are so, it's like, if you ever wondered why Doom Guy is so poorly armed when he goes to hell, it's because he literally just walked into an E3 toilet and just warped there. It's so, and in America, they have in the cubicles, there's the biggest gap between the door and the stall.
You'll never shit in private.
You could kick a football through that.
Yeah.
You could kick a field goal through the fucking,
field goal. I know you're talking about America, but come on.
Listen,
field goal.
I actually meant soccer.
Yeah, but, I know what you meant. Then you change the game midway.
Well, I mean, you could kick anything.
God, this kind of U-turns.
It's that big. You can fit so many different sports in there.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Ooh. You can hit a boundary through there. But they are bad. And the worst toilet experience. And there, so bit of advice is that if you're at E3,
have a always shit before you get in there.
Wear a nappy.
Definitely. Definitely. But always go upstairs. So you can go up to the second floor.
Yeah.
And they've got toilets up there. And they're generally, you know...
Never go near a food outlet.
Yeah. And by the media centre, there is a toilet. And my goodness, you can smell it coming off. But I once walked in to the toilet and someone was in there and he was pissing. And there was obviously a lot of people in there pissing. And I kind of walked in. And then there was, on a tripod, a camera which was pointing at the people pissing. And it wasn't on. It kind of struck me afterwards that the guy who was in there having a piss didn't want to leave his very expensive equipment outside, which makes perfect sense. But imagine walking in there and just seeing a row of people pissing.
Yeah.
And then there is just a video camera. Like,
but surely this
Okay. And just backing out immediately.
This is exactly the kind of place, though, where you're going to be there just having a car, just to... You know, just a good piss. You know, you've been running around for appointments. You need a piss. And like someone's trying to tell you about this new fighting game or something. You're like, look, that's great. I've got to get there. Relief. Then someone comes in with a fucking camcorder. Like, it's your boy style.
Yeah.
Still at E3 in the toilet.
It might happen. And also like, there are, in some of the hotels, this happened to me. I went back to my own hotel room and went into the bathroom. And some of the publishers have like agreements with, this sounds like it's going to go somewhere, but it's not, with some of the hotels.
You and there heard was a whirring sound in the wall.
and there was a Sunset Overdrive like vinyl on the mirror. And so.
Like a stick over.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and so that had happened and it infuriated me to think that, you know, while I was out running around E3, some poor bastard was in my bathroom going, here's Sunset Overdrive. They'll like this when they get in. Me just going.
So the price you paid for going out with the publisher was that you could never look at yourself.
I wasn't out with the publisher. I was out with my outlet.
With hotels,
so, yeah, it's the
hotel. Oh, in their hotel room there. Yeah. Oh, I see. Right,
so,
right.
I mean, that was what made me furious. Like, if I was out with Activision, for example, and I came back.
You
and
would
there
expect.
Was a, there was a man with a gun in there. I'd be like, it's Call of Duty. You know, these things happen.
Yeah. But, you've got a little sad-eyed World War II man in the corner. He doesn't move for the whole time. Just crouched in the corner.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays. Sadness. I'm looking forward to seeing how...
You're up for the World War II COD, aren't you?
You know what? I think that a lot of it is... It's interesting because it's funny how these things, you know, they go in cycles. So you're like, oh, okay, I could go back to Call of Duty, well, you know, World War II. But it's literally just called Call of Duty World War II.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so where are we going this year? World War II. And like, they didn't even give it a name. Like before, it's like World at War you know, Big Red One.
Well, presumably it's been written on a wall somewhere like for the last 2 years and they've looked at it and gone, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I think that everyone's obviously tired of future warfare and near or far, and just like modern warfare now carries these horrible tinges of actually, are we the bad guys? So it's like, where were we safe?
Yeah.
Where was it fine?
When was long enough ago that it's kind of
is
all
World
right
War
now?
II now comfortable nostalgia? Is that a worry in and of itself?
I mean,
these wars are too real now.
But they,
I want it, like, you know, biplanes. Well, you have to go, you know, a bit further back for that. But
Call of Duty Cowboys, the next one. I call it now.
Big time. But yeah, Cowboys, you'll see no, I think you'll see any of
that
Rockstar.
I don't think so. Unless the only thing that makes me think possibly is if they enter into an agreement with anyone. I don't know why they would. If there's anything around any like GTA 4 remark, like a reissue of that or something.
That was great. I was there when that came on and that was a great moment. That was really, really good because it obviously looked much, much better than it had on the previous consoles.
Oh, yeah. Well, GTA, this is the thing. Like we've seen the pictures of Red Dead 2, right? Doing the rounds. And like if those are legitimate screenshots, then once again, you're looking at Rockstar just... pushing that hardware more. I mean, you know, when GTA 5 came out on those previous gen systems, you're looking at it going, that's fucking great.
The screens are fairly close generally. There's, you know, there's some bullshottery going on.
Of course.
There's a ton, you know, but generally it's pretty good. I was saying on the Max Payne podcast that while I was at E3 a few years ago, I once saw a couple of cars come out of a very discreet like screening room or kind of like back room.
The little side bits.
With GTA 5 lanyards on. And that was 2013. And just seeing these guys just file out, you know, and I think it was probably four retailers with 2K.
Right, it would have been about then.
And I was like, oh, what have they seen? What's he building in there? Basically, is the thought. And everyone went, fuck off, mate. I'm like, okay. So couldn't get in. But yeah, it's a magical place.
We're on our way there.
Yeah.
There's an advert in there somewhere. Nintendo, just to move on from Sony. I'll tell you what, just very quickly on Sony before we move on. Last of Us 2, we'll see more of that.
Yeah.
I think we have to.
There's no way it's coming out this year, though. I mean, I don't believe that for a second.
Have they said it might?
No.
I'm not going to. I think everyone will be in agreement where they say, it's all right, Sony, take your time with that one. Like, but I think that first game got enough, you know, enough fans to just chill out a little bit there. And they've probably got good enough games, you know, or like enough games coming up. Potential, I don't know, it could go either way. Detroit, David Cage, Quantic Dream.
Yeah, I mean, now, I loved Heavy Rain, but that trailer did not do
how
it
do
for
people
me.
Feel about this one?
Well, I was not impressed, shall we say.
Because I'm a bit hit and miss with Quantic Dream. I liked Fahrenheit, I liked Heavy Rain. And Beyond Two Souls made me want to throw my PS3 out of the nearest.
It's garbage. Beyond Two Souls is like absolute garbage. It's, and I think they're actually lucky that there's not going to be a bigger critical re-examination of that, particularly the middle bit of it, where it's, you know, you're in certain places thinking...
Is that Warzone time?
No, it's when you're... is it the...
desert?
The Native American...
Oh, yes.
Desert scenes. You're, like, you're playing it like... Oh, my. It's like that's how it's framed in that exact term. But I think that I do think that he has kind of good stuff in him, but like Kojima, someone's got to smash him over the head and go, shut the fuck up.
But this is what I'm thinking. Maybe this could be that one, couldn't it?
Or it could be the prequel trilogy where he goes for George Lucas and just no one's there to go, hang on, mate, maybe we should not do that.
No, but I think that game was Beyond. Yeah, I think that's one where, like, he was, you know, no shackles, like, unrestrained David Cage, just go for it, go do whatever you want, indulge yourself. And what you got was this mess of just incoherence.
That was, that was really, like, the end of it, we go to the Korean sub-base. And the thing I could not believe that I was hearing from other critics, like, you know, obviously you have the little grapevine and they're like, oh, I'm playing game X or Y and this is what I think. You know, it's not collusion, it's just people talking. But
people talk to each other, I know.
Yeah,
amazing,
I know, amazing. Yeah. But I was in this, you know, the Korean sub-base, and there was, at one point, you dress up as a general, and you have to, like, get through to another section of it, and you're being saluted by all these soldiers. And the face model of the guy you're playing as is literally an American jeans model.
Yeah.
He is the best-looking American man in the world, and you're like... He does not look like he should be a general in this army, just quietly.
Yeah.
And you're just walking, you're like, what's happening here? And so this, you know, it's just like, I've seen Robocop and Blade Runner. I'm going to do that. Like,
yeah, but I'm not up for a Blade Runner and Robocop game. Tell you what, done well.
I'll play his games because at any rate, there's something to them.
There's an article in them, right? I mean, yeah, for a freelance like yourself, Tom, you know, you probably get two or three articles out of that one, you know.
There are some clicks.
All the things he's done wrong. Nintendo don't show up anymore as such. Obviously, they've got stuff on the floor for journalists and for the punters that come along and stuff, but they've been doing their directs for a while, which they're like live stream thingamajigs, which is good, you know, watch them wherever, sit in the hotel in your pants, scratching away, watching the new Nintendo things. Switch came out this year. Everyone, you got a Switch, Tom?
Yeah.
I got a Switch. You have a company Switch, right?
Yeah.
We all have access to Switch. We all like it?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, normally the hardware go, you know, wears away for a bit, but I always get genuinely excited playing on the train and clipping it out.
Then the click noise is the best.
Like, that is the best thing. Not the best thing, but with those sorts of things.
It's the best thing about it.
I've been a bit critical of Nintendo over the last couple of console cycles, but they've smashed it. They've absolutely smashed it. I remember, you know, going meh when all those lifestyle adverts, because that's what a lot of companies do. They have lifestyle adverts, whereas you know,
and the Switch was very heavily like that. Obviously,
we're playing Mario Kart on, you know, in a train, but it's happening. And if, you know, fair play to them. As soon as you get one in your hands, as long as it's not like the John Major Gray one, as long as it's a neon one. Like, why would you buy a console that literally looks...
Some people like the grey ones. Have you got a grey one?
I've got a grey one.
I've got right, the listen. Leon.
Anyway, Mike, who's this guy? but no, it's fantastic. And I think like it's already changed a lot of mindsets from people I talk to about how they play video games. All I want now, it's killed me. All I want is PES. I'll buy one for PES.
For PES on Switch? Well, it's going to have FIFA, isn't it?
A FIFA. Yeah. Whether it's going to be FIFA 18 or a proper
it's gonna
FIFA.
It's going to be like FIFA football was on the Vita, isn't it? It was like, it's a whole lot.
Hey, listen,
thing.
I played it a lot. I know you played it a lot as well. I've got 13 still installed
on my Vita.
I've got
13 on my Vita. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine for on the move. I mean, FIFA on the 3DS was garbage, though. The whole weird. You ever see that? Different perspective. Like you can't face it. It was a very, very bad game.
But fair play, they've smashed it. And what I want is for them to come out this year and go, these are the new games we've got.
Yeah, well, that's what has to happen now, right?
New games, not just, you know, Mario Kart has done really well, and that's a, I was a bit cynical about it because it just seemed like a cash grab, but...
Well, it is that as well.
Yeah, I know, but they've done enough, basically. Yeah. And so, yeah, I would love it to just have a few of the games that I would get on my PS4 or Scorpio or PS5 or fucking whatever.
Do you want to see more of the kind of third-party cross-platforms coming over to it that we don't know them. I mean, we've seen all that. We've seen that picture, that kind of
with all the
thing with all the different.
And they have those all the BioShock on Vita. Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
but I mean, the thing is, the reason
a lot,
I think
a lot of
third
companies
party,
involved though, aren't there? A lot of companies.
Well, yeah,
there's
people like From
Switch,
Software on there.
From
you wouldn't
Software
expect,
on there.
But
yeah.
The reason I think third parties might, I know everyone says it's every Nintendo console, but the reason I think third parties might actually deliver on the Switch is because it's the first Nintendo console where third parties have a reason to be there, because it does offer something genuinely different.
Yeah.
I was playing Persona 5 on PS4, and since getting a Switch, it's been like, oh.
That's the one, isn't it?
Yeah, I wish this was on the Switch. Like, yeah. I don't really want to put 100 hours here.
I think I'll take it with me. That's because of kind of hardware associations as well, isn't it? Because so many of us played Persona 4 Golden on the Vita, and we're just used to that being something you had on the move, just hanging out at home in bed. You didn't have to turn everything on for it. It was just there. And yeah, but there's something weird about turning on Persona 5 and like kind of settling down for a session when you just want to, you know, you can't just lie down on your back, you know, you want to, you've got to pay attention to the TV. But, you know, ARMS is imminent, right? The sort of motion control. Apparently it's best played without it being in motion controls.
I like the motion controls.
I think they're fun for, you know, for just testing out, but apparently it's a lot more accurate if you use a pro controller, if you've got the, you know, extra controller there. What is this kind of Splatoon?
Yeah.
Two, of course, more of the same there, which is fine. Worked well the first time. Why not do it more? We're going to have to see more Mario, aren't we, though? Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
With his sentient hat thing, which rarer.
And him in real life. I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
that still looks weird. I rewatched the trailer, the first reveal trailer this morning, and as soon as you see Mario skipping with two, like, proper humans next to him, it's like, what?
It's the Simpsons episode where Homer goes into 3D reality, isn't it? Everyone goes, never do, is it Treehouse of Horror? I was like, never do that again. But I really want them to have a good one because I want to pick up a Switch. At the moment, there's just not enough that interests me. Although I'm not really a big Zelda player, but having seen quite a lot of it, if you've seen business partners playing it or whatever, it's like, you know what? That does actually look fucking amazing. And it's one of those games that started like a Hitman or other games of that ilk where a lot of people are just talking about how they've done stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that always interests me. It's, I managed to solve this by doing X or Y. And like, you know what? That is really, or like just jumping over the puzzles.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I really hope that they've got
strange parallel Hitman and Breath of the Wild,
but they allow perfect sense. But they allow you to.
Yeah. I mean,
they're both these kind of go your own way playgrounds.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like systemic playgrounds. Like, there's a lot of Metal Gear 5 in Breath of the Wild to me as well. How you run around doing things
mercifully short.
Why did no one tell me that? I'm going to buy it now. I love Metal Gear Solid 5. It's got a lot of problems, mainly, you know, with people not wearing enough clothes and how the camera treats a lot of people.
Yeah,
but
how people breathe
exactly,
as well when they're
not finishing
clothes.
The story.
Exactly.
You know.
But in the moment, as it were, the second to second or minute to minute gameplay is just unbelievable. And I get the feeling that Zelda has exactly that because people, they are just, they can't wait to tell you about it. And it's not the same as old Zeldas where it's like, oh, I really liked it because, you know, it had this story.
Everyone has this shared experience of a certain dungeon.
Yeah.
Because it plays the same.
You know, they're like, oh, when I did it like this, you know, like, who are you? Firstly, stop coming up to me in the pub and telling me about Zelda. But yes, I don't know. I think if they got something else that's anywhere near that.
Well, there's going to be DLC, isn't there? There's story DLC for Zelda.
Yeah, but I don't want that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But like, if you're in my position, I don't know if you're at the same time, where you finished Zelda, the new Zelda, and now you're thinking, I'd like more of that, please. A bit like The Witcher 3 was a couple of years ago. Then you got like those two great Witcher expansions. And obviously Nintendo said, buy your pass. By the end of the year, you get a whole new story content. I really want this E3 to tell me what that is.
And if it definitely will.
If
definitely
it's, will. Yeah, yeah, it will. If it is, you play as Zelda, that's huge.
That's it.
That's huge. Because like Breath of the Wild, all right, you play as Link, but it's not really Link's story. And there's a whole bunch of it, obviously, where, you know, you're aware of what Zelda... What the hell's Zelda been up to the whole time? Like, I know, oh, she's been fighting Ganon in there, has she? What? You know, she's on those... I would love that, you know, because obviously those flashbacks are all in that world, all those memories in that world. There's a lot you could do as Zelda. And we learn a lot about her little... Like, her relationship with the king and stuff, with her dad in that game. And I would just love that story DLC to play right now you're Zelda. Like, Link is your underling, like... You know, he's your little servant boy, effectively. Mm. And that'd be so cool.
I mean, that's the thing. Everyone was always like, oh, Switch lineup's terrible. There's not going to be enough. But, I mean, I actually finished that. I'm 50 hours through and I still haven't done the main story.
Well, hopefully that was vague enough for you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm playing it for the gameplay.
I got to about 90 hours. I think it was about 85, 90 hours. And I'd done only two of the Divine Beasts.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've got to just go for it. So the rest was just like, by that point, I was practically invincible. You know, Link was...
All the hearts.
Yeah. I had the Master Sword. I had the Hyrule Shield. Have you got the Hyrule Shield yet?
No. The thing is,
go get that.
See, this is what I'm talking. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. You know, people just get lost in this. You know, in the minutiae of the fucking game. And fair enough. Well done, Nintendo. I'm going to explode into dust from having admitted that. So people listening are like,
I can see you wince.
It's a bit like Martin McFly.
Just waiting for the sniper to shoot you like right
hands,
now.
Your hand's fading away like Back to the Future now. You're going to drop the mic.
In an old video game, I fight where I'm just gone. But yeah. But I think that they've got the potential to really actually steal E3, ooh, Nintendo.
I mean, the thing is, what's really interesting about Super Mario Odyssey, what we've seen about it, is it actually has quite a similar approach to Breath of the Wild. Like, it's an open world hub, and it's the first time Nintendo's kind of taken the big franchises and made them kind of open world. So
right.
I'd be really interested to see if they use this scope for something like a Metroid, or I don't know, even a Donkey Kong.
Even I was excited about that.
Like, yeah, I think Nintendo have, you know, they said... Miyamoto said he mastered Unreal Engine 4 and stuff, which is something Nintendo normally do their own weird shit,
their own
engines. So I feel like they're really in key with the rest of the industry now, which has never really happened.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that, you know, you could see that with the mobile movements they've done as well, you know, just actually sort of going, you know what, yeah, we are in our own little world and that's great and that's why we love them, but at the same time, accepting these other things. And I love the fact that like their first kind of big proper open world game, this Breath of the Wild, like, okay, yeah, we've seen what other stuff is going on. Then they've just like spanked all those other things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you want to go back to Skyrim after playing Zelda. It's garb. I guess we'll see that as well.
On a Switch.
Like Skyrim on a Switch will probably be given a release date probably this E3. Is there anything else coming up in terms of third parties for Switch?
Monster Hunter.
Confirmed the other day. Monster Hunter, yeah.
We just saw the... A bit smaller, but the successor to I Am Setsuna is coming there. If you like your JRPGs,
oh yes, the Tokyo RPG Factory, isn't
it? Yeah, that's the one. I mean, to be honest, I'd like to think that there'll be some nice third-party announcements because you can't really ignore the sales. I mean, even something half-assed like a Dark Souls 1 and 2 collection, great. I'd play that on the go.
Oh yeah, this is the thing. It's going to allow people to revisit stuff that maybe they didn't get. It's really hard to find time to sit down and do a concentrated console session. It really, you know, for any grown adults, really, you know. So that, but the Switch is like you said about Switch changing how people play games. Like me, just having like an hour and a half on the train, like, you know, here and back from London to home, it's like the best part of 3 hours I can spend on a game where I'm basically doing nothing else and I can't do much else.
You're looking out the window at the wonderful scenery.
Well, usually, like, you know, crack a travel beer or something. That makes it even better. Makes it even better. Mario Kart and a travel beer is just fantastic. Thank you very much.
If Jeremy Corbyn's trying to find a seat, you can give him a controller, play a bit of Mario Kart.
Over, get some Ultra Street Fighter 2 on the go. He always chooses Dalsim. I don't know what that says about the man, but...
Very political, Michael.
I love these political inserts. Anyone think we had a general election coming up in the UK? If this was the American podcast, they'd be like, banging on about it, I'm sure, but you know, I'm trying to keep politics.
Yeah, but they're
podcast.
Trying to keep that down now, aren't they? After the marked embarrassment of what's happened,
we see what happened there.
Speaking of politics, everyone's getting annoyed about Far Cry 5, showing all the villains being angry fundamentalist Christians.
Angry, potentially. Yeah. Austin wrote a really good piece, actually, based on a preview he saw, which is on waypoint.vice.com. Remember, we do have a website. It's very good. You should read it.
It is a good piece.
He's seen quite a, by the sound of things, quite a lot of that game. Because it's only out in February. But that's not that far away,
is
it?
No, that's not at all. No.
I don't really think they need to show much more at E3, do they, Far Cry?
They probably will. I mean, it'll be the
classic, like Far Cry 3 and 4 reveals.
Because they've got Assassin's Creed. They've got the Mario Rabbids game.
Yes.
We're talking about Nintendo.
Which doesn't exist, apparently. And then, wait a minute. It does exist. And now the internet is melting down.
Fantastic,
which is
wasn't it?
Great.
You know, there were the various, you know, reports about this thing happening. Yeah. A couple of people who do very great work in you know, the games media, like, had got wind of this, or certainly thought it was, and put their pieces together and said there's going to be a Mario Rabbids game. No, get up, shut up, you know, get out of here. And lo and behold,
it's amazing that, isn't it? The people who actually work in the industry may not always, but may have someone who
occasionally
may tell them about
on.
Some of these things.
And yeah, then,
actually have an uncle that works in Nintendo. Yeah, legitimately.
So it was at the I was speaking to my friends who works in Nintendo, and I was like, "Shit, you're going to be the guy. You're going to be the dad works in Nintendo. You know, you're going to be the uncle works. In, you know, you're going to be all those guys." Like, oh yeah,
That's pretty neat. So we did Activision. Is there going to be any more Destiny?
Destiny 2, yeah, I've booked in to play it.
Yeah, okay, they're showing
it's
off.
Going to be that.
They just did a reveal, though. It's one of these
things
that's so close to E3.
I'm going to play exactly the same thing at that event, but I mean, to be honest, I was a bit disappointed with it. I put quite a lot of hours into Destiny 1, but I always felt that Destiny was held back by the hardware, and Destiny 2, you know,
it's
feature
just this generation, because it's cross-generation last time,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, like, you know, without getting too nerdy, you know, limited pool of RAM and all this, you know, holding it back. So I was really hoping there'd be these huge grand environments, sprawling missions, but just looked a bit prettier, the new UI. So I was a bit...
Yeah.
Still going to do absolute gangbusters, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's, for me, it's always just been like, you know, the gun collection game, right? That's why people love it. It's gear and guns, right?
Yeah.
Fair play.
Doesn't do it for me, but people love it.
Fair play to how that game evolved, you know. It's when I reviewed the base game, I gave it a 7, and I was like, you know what, it's really fun shooting stuff, but there's not enough stuff to shoot, basically. And then after a while, that was before they even had any of the kind of real raid stuff come in. But yeah, Destiny 2, a lot of people are really excited about Destiny 2, and now it's, you know, it's kind of easy. It was easy with the first one to be like,
I wonder if Destiny 2 being there will lead Microsoft to not show any new Halo.
I mean,
I don't suppose it matters these days, but of course, you know, Destiny is effectively those
Halo
guys.
They could show a tiny bit of
to do more.
A tiny teaser, and then they don't, I mean, unless they're going head to head on the show floor, where people can play both,
which ain't going to be the case,
exactly.
No.
I mean, that's never the case.
Might see more Cyberpunk 2077.
Come on, now.
Yeah, we've seen nothing of that. I mean, it's been a long while.
Show something, haven't they? Which is kind of done for now.
Witcher 4.
Gwent is happening.
Witcher 4.
Well, they...
No, surely not.
There won't be a Witcher 4, but there's going to be a Siri game, isn't there? I think there's going to be a Siri game. And what with Netflix picking up The Witcher now, if you've got the rights to that game series, you're thinking,
we truck on and
we do something else.
Now's
here.
The time, yeah.
Especially because Siri... I mean, I say Siri game, I wrote about this. I've written about this a couple of times, how they should do this. Siri is... the star of those books, maybe more than Geralt is. Geralt's the obvious video game character. He's the one that goes off on the adventures. But Ciri is the kind of super, you know, superpowered child of prophecy or whatever, like, who is effectively at the center of a lot of the quests, a lot of what you do. Even in Witcher 3, you know, it's all about finding her.
Is this another Zelda Link situation, is this what we're saying? Yeah.
Possibly. You do get to actually play as Ciri a little bit in The Witcher 3, though. But, I mean, I think for CD Projekt to do something on The Witcher again soon would be good, but it depends how far along Cyberpunk is. Because
I mean, they've released so much DLC, though. I think it's actually, it would be all right to give it a breather.
I'd complain. I don't expect to see anything more till like 2019 or something. I mean, you know, I mean, God knows.
Until 2077,
well, there's
right?
No date on that Netflix Witcher show, is there? It's just like, we are doing this. Yeah. And like, there's no casting done yet. So you got to think, all right, it's 2017. That's probably 2019, isn't it?
Has it just literally been optioned? like
Netflix have said they're doing it.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of like in the ye olden days. You know, and by that I mean like 5 years ago, you would option a book or
it could be a case they wait for the Halo movie.
Alex Garland wrote a script for that for apparently $1 million.
How many things has Alex Garland written that hasn't been projected?
That don't have an ending.
Yeah, well, there you go. Maybe Netflix will wait and see how the Castlevania thing does. Maybe the gaming they've got the Castlevania cartoon, isn't it, animated series, which is. Just had its first trailer out in the wild, I think. Looks vampire-y.
Anime-esque.
Yeah. Anime vampires. Yeah. That's a recipe for success, isn't it?
There's a lot of people that...
Anime vampires with old school video game franchise attached. Boom, money. Thank you very much, probably. And
works for me.
I mean, speaking of which, I mean, Konami actually woke up and released the game, Bomberman Super Bomberman R, and surprisingly, it did really well. So I'm wondering if, with Castlevania coming out, they might go, oh, another classic Nintendo franchise... Castlevania on Switch.
New Castlevania on Switch, yeah. Or even... Yeah,
new Castlevania.
The new Castlevania.
Like the Geordie Shore cast. That would be fantastic, isn't it? You know what? I fucking play that.
But look, if that's not a sketch somewhere, one of these...
They have to go and rescue Scotty T.
It has to be done. Something involving, you know, twin... It won't be Onstein and Smo, will it? It'll be like PJ and Duncan you have to face off against.
DJ Dracula coming in. It'd be good.
Exactly.
This studio's up in Newcastle, right? Reflections up there. Get Ubi on the case. They'll do that. They'll do it for free. I'm sure they will. They've got nothing else going on. I'm absolutely certain of that. Got loads going on. But Cyberpunk, I guess we've got to see more of that, right? You know, CD Projekt has said, we're not doing any more Witcher. We're working on Cyberpunk. This is the time to go, hey, look, we've done this. Like, it exists. It's not just a trailer now with the lady with the weird spider stabby arms.
I mean, if Microsoft were clever, they'd get that as an exclusive for the Scorpio, because I'm sure it'd be a really good-looking game, and, you know, it's a bit new.
Imagine if that does come out as a platform, as a console exclusive. The amount...
The salty tears that would flood the internet.
Those are always the best bits of E3.
Very, very bad.
You have to remember that there's a lot of cool stuff to play. There's a lot of good times to be had with, you know, people who are like-minded or work, you know, colleagues or, you know... Well, your contemporaries, but a lot of E3 is about soaking in the tears of people who are, you know, maybe you're in a conference room with them and suddenly, you know, your friend's a big Nintendo fan and something is now exclusive. And then you just see they're heartbreaking. It's great. It's the Simpsons thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's like that every hour of the day. It's fantastic.
I choose you.
Exactly.
Sony.
Exactly.
For a timed release. Exactly. So you can, exclusive.
You know, it's great. It's absolutely. And there will be fuck ups. There will be great announcements. There will be bad toilets. But mainly, there will be people who are upset. And you can walk around and just see people look dazed.
In the toilets, most likely, I'm guessing.
That's a given. That's
dazed in the. Ugh, horrible. I would wrap it there, but just very quickly, you know, if I throw. Some names that you hear, like what do you say? Battlefront 2, are we going to see more? But we'll see more about that.
Yes, definitely.
Of course.
Does anyone care? People happy about Battlefront 2?
I am.
You're well into it.
Yeah, you know what?
Good. I mean, it's a new Star Wars film coming up.
I think the campaign is what excites me. I mean, the last one was a bit average, but Spec Ops The Line Rider doing it. I don't know. It could be cool. I'm ready to be excited.
Optimistic.
Yeah, I like the last one.
Yeah. I think the last one was good foundations for doing a much
And it looked
better.
Great.
Yeah.
It
did look great. Oh, yeah. I mean, it did look incredible. Metal Gear Survive.
I don't know. Like, see what it's got. But
yeah.
I mean, it's not a Metal
Gear. Are daggers out anyway because of situations that have played out in the past?
Yeah,
like,
of course
it starts from the bottom.
Yeah,
this,
of course.
It? Like, you know.
Of course
but I mean, as Steve was saying, there is a really great gameplay foundation in Metal Gear 5, and having it as a pure co-op game, it could actually be a lot of fun, but. It's just, we all know that it's just a way to recoup all their sunken costs. And it'll just stinks and it's a bit weird, but it could be fun despite that. I don't know. We'll see.
Fun Metal Gear. A couple of potential. Again, I'm reading, you know, I got my ear to the grapevine. Do you put your ear to the grapevine?
That's the song, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably.
I mean, you heard it.
You have to hear it, right?
If you're drunk enough, don't speak.
So I've read that maybe there might be, well, Bethesda apparently have like an area, right? A shoulder area. And some of those areas are unconfirmed.
Under construction.
Right, under construction.
Wolfenstein and Elder Scrolls.
Wolfenstein 2, yeah, for sure. Evil Within 2, there was a job listing for that
was
somewhere.
There. Okay.
The Evil Within.
That doesn't sound super exciting. I was hoping for new
IP. I like Evil Within.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong. Like that was you know. That was
and the
cars,
boys, the boy yeah. was making it. So is he making two? Shinji. Yeah.
I do you think there'll be something brand new and possibly from BioWare as well? I've seen rumors of, well, not rumors. People have been saying that BioWare, maybe they've even announced themselves, have a new IP that they've been working on for quite a few years.
Well, I know they've been doing the Star Wars games. I mean, I asked EA incessantly if it was going to be there, and I can't play it. They definitely said there's nothing playable from BioWare, but they might show. I mean, it's about time we saw the other Star Wars games people were working on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and a good time to do it. I mean, anything else? Anything that you're going to see, Tom, with your bookings that you're really excited about?
Well, I've got there's some mystery games from Capcom and a mystery game from Square.
Marvel versus Capcom. No. Mobile.
I mean, I reckon Devil May Cry 5 is going to be one of them. I can't think what else they'd bring out that would be big. They're doing an HD port of Dragon's Dogma. There could be a sequel to that.
Yeah. I very much doubt that game will get a sequel. Alas for the people who love it, not enough people loved it to, you know, it's one of those, isn't it?
It's true. I mean, yeah, I mean, with Square, aren't Square doing a Marvel game as well? Didn't they announce that a few months ago? Like a really brief trailer? So yeah. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I don't know what shape that could be. That could be interesting. A proper, not to shit all over Marvel vs. Capcom, but, you know, not a fighting game. A kind of Marvel adventure game could be cool. Yeah. Could be interesting.
Well, Marvel vs. Capcom, obviously, they'll have more there of that. Yeah. I mean, that's out September, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's as good as done. And the fighting game people, you know, the proper fighting game fans I know who've played Marvel Capcom Infinite, they love it. You know,
I'm not a fighting game fan, but I played it and loved it, to be honest. It was much better than I thought it was going to be. It was really
cool. Well, those games, you know, it's heritage there, isn't it? They're not going to mess that up at all.
Yeah. You've been missing the biggest game in the show, haven't you? Pro Evolution Soccer 2018.
Yet another year passes where the better football game remains the underdog, I suppose.
Although,
what are FIFA going to do? They did the journey last year.
Maybe there'll be a VR experience, the journey VR. Look at the locker room.
Imagine if it was a case of playing just a normal FIFA game, and then you had to like quickly stop, put your headset on, and like Headmaster, you know that Headmaster
that's
game?
That's what I was going to say. Like that.
You have to like score the winner with a VR header.
FIFA scenario mode with Headmaster sort of tracking. I'd go for that.
You know. Football Manager VR from Sega could be cool. Those spreadsheets. But
exactly. Out, you know? And then someone comes in and calls you a dickhead in a press conference. You're like, all right, this is no wonder they're stressed all the time.
You feel the spit
coming down the camera in front of you. It's good.
Get to go into the locker room and it all steams up. That's nice. It's hot in there. The lads have been running around.
I was only going to talk about
HP again.
There you go. I did put PC down here. There's a PC show, as there is the last few years, that promises exclusives.
Yeah.
Any care there for what those PCs... No, not to like shit on people who play PC games exclusively, but you know, E3 doesn't really have that level of excitement for PC games, does it?
No, I mean, to be honest, I can't think of any huge PC exclusives outside of MMOs and strategy games. Maybe we'll get a Cities Skylines 2, maybe there'll be a new Civilization. I mean, maybe there'll be some... maybe DayZ will finally be released about 8 years later, who knows? I mean... Yeah.
Could be. But we haven't got long to find out.
No.
By the next time the UK podcast runs, E3 will have happened. So this is it. This is your one
dangerously
shot, guys.
Close. Dangerously thinking, close.
Tell me about it.
For thinking about what might happen at E3. Just before we wrap, guys, I mean, current games exist. Have you been playing current games that are actually out now?
Yeah, I've been playing Rhyme. And actually... I went to play it initially in February and I was really disappointed because, I'd been anticipating it for a long time. I'd imagined this kind of masterful blend of like Journey and Zelda, and it wasn't really that. It was really subtle and beautiful and a bit chilled, more of a puzzle game. But coming back to it now, knowing what it is, I actually love it. It's a really unique, interesting game.
Well, I'm the dissenting voice to that because I played it all the way through and didn't like it very much at all because it just felt like a tribute act to me. But have you seen this game, Steve?
I've seen you talking about it at length on Twitter about how you played the preview.
My disappointment of the year.
No, I've not had a chance to play it. And the last game that I bought was Wolfenstein because it's on sale now.
Fair enough.
I didn't like the new order, but the old blood is as well. It's like you get both of them for £8. I didn't much like, in the first instance, TNO, but I thought, you know what, it's £3.29. I'll, you know, give it another go or whatever. So, yeah, but I really liked the Old Blood. Really liked it. It just felt a bit more compact, felt a bit less those laser sequences, you know, that little handheld fucking ray gun shit. But...
You're really on the pulse these days, Steve.
You know what? I don't have to be. It's great. I'm going to turn up at E3 and just meet you around. Fantastic.
Just go, what's this?
Exactly.
I'll be like, toner.
Oh, well, I don't know what this thing is anymore. It's fantastic.
You might find a Kane and Lynch 3 there on a Switch.
Oh,
you
know? There it is. That's the dream. Kane and Lynch collection. That is the dream. Steve, step in here. We've got something to show you. But no, I am now in like full Steam work mode before it all happens. And then... hopefully, I'm going to get to see loads of really cool shit. So
that's what we're all hoping for. Cool shit this E3. So yeah, where can people find you? Find gentlemen on the Twitters and things, or mainly the Twitters, where they can send you lovely messages of support.
So I'm at Grape Dos Mill, which is a super weird username. But
Grape,
you know?
Dos Mill.
Yeah, it's a play on a Glassjaw song.
I was about to say it's a Glassjaw reference, isn't it?
You started him off now. Good.
Ape Dos Mill, wasn't it?
There we go. That's Grape Dos Mill.
I was watching the video for Cosmopolitan Bloodlust the other day because it's got
Vincent Gallo in it.
He plays the Richard Ashcroft role in the verse bit of Sweet Symphony, but in a slightly angrier way.
Yeah,
I thought his career was just completely ruined after the Brown Bonnet.
This was
like 2002 or something.
Oh right, I don't know.
They don't really exist anymore, do they? Glassjaw.
I saw them last year, and then they just do their own thing.
Anyway, there you go.
Grape Dos Mill.
There we go.
At on the Twitter, Steve.
At the Steve Burnio. And then for the podcast and everything, at Jim Burns Dave.
Yes, I listened to your most recent podcast on that, actually. You're talking about Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
Ugh. And, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I've listened to and read loads of stuff. I've totally ruined it for myself. And yet, I still want to go and see it.
Go and see it, because it's totally weird and very shite in a lot of ways, but just watchable. Just, you know, for that middle moment section of the movie where you, as I said in the other podcast, where you go, what the fuck is going on? And then you just imagine Ridley Scott somewhere sitting on a pile of money going, you're like, you know what? Fucking fair play.
The first hour was really good though.
Oh my goodness.
The first hour was really good.
It's so good. It's so bad. There's so much. Right, I'm not going to get into it. Terror bad.
You should listen to that podcast. It's a good podcast. It's probably Andy Kelly approved.
No, the alien liker.
The alien liker himself. You can find Waypoint at Waypoint on Twitter, Waypoint Vice on Facebook and on Twitch. All that good stuff. You can find the website itself, waypointvice.com. We write articles, we do podcasts, we do video stuff, streams, all that good stuff. And that's where it all kind of gets dumped at the end of the day. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, this one, the Waypoint UK podcast, and also Waypoint Radio, which is twice a week from the US, or you can find them on any of your kind of podcast provision platforms. The next Waypoint UK podcast is on June the 15th. It'll be myself and guests, potentially at least one. We're going to be talking about daddies,
the source.
That's it. Possibly the source, possibly John Terry. Who can say until the day itself? He was Dad of the Year a few years ago, mate. Dad of the Year, John Terry.
I'm out.
Dad of the Year. Mic drop. See you later, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.